Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love window shopping on Etsy. It's a website where you can buy all kinds of things. It's where I've gotten so many of my liturgical shirts that I love to wear. And here's how I know they've got my number, or that is to say that the algorithms have figured me out. Because just a few days ago, one of the items that popped up that I might be interested in is a t-shirt that says, "The Saints are my friends." I think I'm gonna order it, and I might wear that on All Saints Sunday this year. It's true, though, some of the saints are my friends. Through their writings, several authors have become dear friends, mentors, role models. Through their words, they offer me knowledge and wisdom, support and guidance. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that hinders us and the sin that clings so closely, and run with perseverance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Well, one of those saints who cheers me on and who I've been thinking about a lot lately is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so I recently reread one of my favorite writings of his book called The Cost of Discipleship, which he wrote in 1937. For those of you that don't know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian and a German pastor and a Nazi resistor. He wrote in his book about the cost of discipleship with the Lutheran understanding of grace. And so if you've ever heard the phrases cheap grace or costly grace, it comes from Bonhoeffer's writings, and he fleshes those out in this book. He says, cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Costly grace, it confronts us with a grace-filled invitation to follow Jesus. It's costly grace because it calls us to live vicariously and suffer vicariously on behalf of others in our commitment to and obedience to Christ. Over and over in his book, Bonhoeffer emphasizes that costly discipleship emphasizes commitment and obedience to Christ over and above all others. The final cost of Bonhoeffer's discipleship, of his obedience to Christ, was by resisting Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. 70 years ago this year, he was killed at the age of 39 in a concentration camp after being marched through the camp naked and being hung. You see, discipleship, true discipleship, faithful discipleship, is costly. Because in the words of Pastor Bonhoeffer, your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and the poor. Your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, all evil, all lies, all oppression, and violation of the weak and the poor. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is beginning to call disciples. And in our verses today, he starts with Simon and James and John, son of Zebedee, follow. He invites them to follow him, to live a life of discipleship. And so I thought it might be helpful for us to look at the context of Jesus' call to discipleship in the Gospels. Right? Remember that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. He had Jewish disciples, and they were following him in first century Galilee, completely different context than ours. Education was then and is still incredibly, incredibly important to Jews. And at the time of Jesus, when Jewish children were about 6 years old, they would go to the local synagogue where they were taught the Torah by a local rabbi. So the Torah are the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this first stage of their education was memorizing those five books. So from the ages of 6 to 10, the children memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This much of their Hebrew Bible. Now, by the time they were done with this stage of their education, many children no longer went to school. So at around the age of 10, many children began to apprentice. Many children began to learn the family trade or business, or learn to manage the household. But the best of the best students, they kept going on to the next stage. And as they progressed in that next stage, from about the ages to 10 to 14, they memorized the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. What does that mean? They had memorized this much. By the age of 14, they had memorized Genesis through Malachi. That much of our Bible. At the age of 14-ish, some of the children decided that it wasn't necessarily for them to keep going, and they went and learned the family business or the family trade. But the best of the best of the best kept going. They would continue to the next level to become a disciple of a rabbi. Now, at this point, the best of the best of the best, as you can imagine, are the smartest, the brightest, the most determined of children. And it was very few of them, because to get to that point was very challenging. But the best of the best of the best at that point would then apply to a rabbi to become a rabbi's disciple. Now, it's important to note that each rabbi had their own interpretation of the Hebrew scriptures and how to live them out. So, for example, one rabbi might say, this verse or this command means this. And another rabbi might say, well, no, I think it means something slightly different. This rabbi's set of interpretations, the way that he understood the Hebrew scriptures and lived them out, was that rabbi's yoke. So when you studied under a rabbi, you took that yoke upon you. And when you applied to that rabbi, if he determined that you were good enough, he would say, come, come, take my yoke upon you and become my disciple. And so at that time, that 14-year-old would leave everything, friends and family, community, and devote their entire lives to their rabbi and to their rabbi's yoke. So this is a little bit different of an understanding of our modern way of thinking about discipleship, right? But this is what Jesus means by discipleship. Our understanding of a disciple is someone who knows some of the same things that the teacher knows. But in Jesus' day, it was something different, something much deeper. To be a rabbi's disciple meant that you don't just know what the rabbi knows, but you do what the rabbi does, to be like the rabbi. You learn to do what the rabbi does so you can be like your rabbi. Pastor Rob Bell talks about this kind of discipleship with an ancient saying, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." You see, rabbis would spend their days taking their disciples around with them, and as they traveled from place to place, they would kick up dust. And because the disciples were following the rabbi so closely, because they had devoted their entire lives to doing what the rabbi did so that they could become like the rabbi, by the end of the day, they were covered in the dust that their rabbi had kicked up. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Well, here's the thing about God. God gives us that choice of whether or not we want to be covered in the dust of our rabbi, Jesus. God gives us the choice to become true and faithful disciples. And as we've seen throughout history and even now, some do choose this path of discipleship. Some choose to follow Jesus so closely, to do what he does, to become like him, that they are covered in the dust of Jesus. But then there are other Christians who are Christians or disciples in name only. And they are covered in the dust of whomever they follow, not Jesus. Remember, Pastor Bonhoeffer describes this by saying, your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, all evil, all lies, all oppression, and violation of the weak and the poor. Are we choosing that kind of costly discipleship? Or are we choosing yes to some injustice, to some evil, maybe a few lies, yes to some oppression and violation to the poor? Because the truth is, even a little bit of yes to those things means that we're saying no to God. It means that we are following someone else or something else, and we are being covered in dust that is not Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, so that we can know what he knows, so that we can do what he does, so that we can become like him, it means choosing obedience to Jesus above all else and above everyone else. This looks like living out the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. This looks like compassion. It looks like sacrificial love, pouring oneself out for the sake of others. This looks like Jesus turning the world upside down. Right? His yoke has nothing to do with greed or power or the misuse of power. His yoke has nothing to do with violence or harming others in any way. His yoke has nothing to do with oppressing or violating the poor and the weak. Jesus' yoke, the yoke that he wants us to take upon us, means that we will do like he did and be like him. And that means that we will care for the most vulnerable. It means that we will care for the marginalized. It means that we will care for the outcasts and the outsiders. It means that we will listen to over 2,000 verses in Scripture that call us to care for the poor. It means that the last will be first and the first will be last. It means that the least will become the greatest. Taking the yoke of Jesus upon us so that we can become like him means seeing the image of God in every single human being, no matter where they're from, no matter what color their skin is or what language they speak, no matter their gender or who they love, because the dust of Jesus looks like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. sisters and brothers. Today, just as on that day, on the shore with those fishermen, Jesus continues to call us to discipleship. But not cheap grace, not cheap discipleship. Jesus calls us to costly discipleship, to devote our entire lives to following him so closely that we will know what he knows, that we will do what he does, and that we will be like him. May we have the courage to be honest with God and ourselves about who we are really following and who we are being obedient to. May we have the courage to be honest about whose dust that we are covered in. And if we find ourselves covered in any kind of dust that is not Jesus, may we have the courage to repent and to do different. May we have the courage to say yes to God and no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and poor. Beloved children of God, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, Jesus. Amen.